Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. We've come a long way in 3 short days from the Mount of Transfiguration. I've been thinking this week about the stark difference between the tone and substance of the Transfiguration story we read on the last Sunday of Epiphany and the penitent reminder of our mortality on Ash Wednesday. The lectionary and the liturgy just led us down the mountain and into the dust. We moved immediately from transfigured glory into ashes, and the celebration of the grandeur of Christ has become silenced in our move to penitence. When the church calendar makes us move, it's always on purpose. It's leading us to encounter God and training us to be faithful followers. And I think this is what it's trying to teach us. It's natural to look to the stars for signs for God, like the wise men did. And anyone would listen to the voice from heaven that proclaimed the sun among us. But it seems more foolish to wallow in the dust in search of glory, or to dig in the ash to find hope. But that's how this Christian story works. It's not enough to be able to envision God when we look up to the heavens or recognize the Lord in transfigured glory. It's not even enough to believe in God in the mundane and common things of this world. Where we are going, we have to be able to believe he rises from the ashes. That's the only way to get to Easter. We can only see the full picture of Jesus if we're willing to stare into the tomb, to place ourselves there in that spot we are afraid of because it foreshadows our own mortality and reminds us of our own sins. Only there will we be able to take up again the Alleluia we have buried for Lent. But the path there is a desert path, a place where we lay down from our lives all that isn't necessary for a season. And after a time in which we have purposely committed ourselves to take up practices again that we know lead to our spiritual awakening. A large part of the power of this service lies in the fact that today the church speaks words of truth, words that cannot be ignored or disputed or evaded or denied. Today we say and confirm with a touch and the smear of black ash, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. There it is. Much else that we say and hear, we may hope is true, sometimes fear is true, or try to believe, or dare not to doubt. But this we know, we are mortal. We were born, and we will die. We come to the church not to escape the world around us, but to try and understand it. We come looking for a lens through which we can view all that goes on in our lives and begin to make sense of it, and more importantly, to hold on to hope through it. And in a way that is hard to grasp in our minds, but somehow we know in our bodies when we come forward, Ash Wednesday begins to do that for us. We take the ashes, proclaim those familiar words, and make the sign of the cross to let us know that we go down to the grave accompanied by one who knows the way out. It's our peculiar Christian symbol that says, Christ has been this way before, and there is light on the far side of it. will you follow? Will you let him mark you as a guide along the path? I'm a little bit of a news junkie. I get updates on my cell phone multiple times a day, letting me know what is going on in all sorts of spheres of interest that I care about. But I've consciously begun limiting my news intake. It was beginning to do something to my soul that I didn't like. It was starting to make me anxious, angry, or depressed. But I still take in enough news about the goings-on in the world to realize this. We live in an era in which we need to be reminded that redemption comes from ashes and eternal life is born from the tomb. We need Ash Wednesday, and not some watered-down version, but the full thing, with a confession of sin and call to repentance, the pronouncement that we will die, and the shared hope we find in communion. Because if we can't talk about sin, we won't get to forgiveness, mercy, grace, or redemption. And if we can't admit our mortality, we can't begin to envision the life to come. We don't talk about it much, but we knew we would die before we showed up at this service. We didn't need the reminder for that. And we don't like to be called out on it, but we were sure we were sinful before we were commanded to repent. What we're less sure of, and what we really need, what our world really needs to be told again, is the assurance that this leads to somewhere worth going. That someone knows the way, and we are not terribly and irrevocably lost. That weeping may endure for the night, but the promise is still that joy comes in the morning, and garlands replace ashes, and life springs forth from the tomb. But first, we need to be the people who can be honest about our sin and our limitations, about our lack of power to make things come out right, and about the way we abuse the power we have, about our fears and the tenuous grasp we have on hope. First, we need to be willing to sit down in the dust and wait for Christ. To wander into the desert in search of a promised land and to stare into the tomb until we see the light. The service asks us if we can honestly do that. Can we look for Jesus in the dust? Can we proclaim him in the midst of our mortality? Can we gaze into the tomb long enough to find the Christ there? If not, we will never experience Easter joy, because that's where it's born. We have to be the people. The world needs us to be the people who can stand at the grave and yet make our song, Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. Today, we're simply asking, are you willing to stand at the grave and admit that it's yours? Will you wait there until Jesus comes for you? Will you strip away all the defenses and make the space for him to come into the empty places of your life once again, so that you might truly know life? Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Amen.